Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he said to him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
The gospel that we just read is one of my favorite to reflect on, to meditate on. This scene, which is so full of these colorful images of Peter in the boat and all the fish flopping around, and Jesus there in the midst of all of that. Right in that moment when Peter's life completely changes. It's a beautiful, you could say, imagery as well to think of Christ coming by the shore of Peter's life. And Peter's life was never the same once he met Christ, the Messiah, in person. I'd like to think that all of us, in some way, Christ does come to the shore of our lives and hopes to also receive from us what he received from Peter, which was an open heart, a humble heart, but an open heart. As I was reflecting on this experience of Peter, I was remembering a beautiful painting from Eugene Bernand. He's a French painter, so I do have that for you today. I'm not going to put it up just yet. And it's a painting about Peter and John. It's an Easter painting. What made me think of that was I had that painting hanging in a rectory that I lived at in Chicago for a while, and I thought it crystallized very well what it is for a Christian to have met Christ. Now, growing up, you know, big Catholic family, we did all the Catholic things. You know, we went to church, and on Sundays we would occasionally pray together as a family. And yet, growing up, I wouldn't say that Christ was that real for me. He was an idea, right? And I knew I had to be good. I knew I couldn't punch my brother Jason, no matter how much he deserved it. And yet, there was something that happened to me once I was a priest where I realized that moment that came to me in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, changed my life. Now, I've told the story before, but it was a long time ago, and many of you probably didn't hear it. It was that story in Port-au-Prince there in the wounds clinic. You see, after the earthquake in 2010, a lot of people had injuries, and they had many wounds that needed to be taken care of. And in a place where there's no running water or sanitation, even a small little cut can become infected and become a severe medical issue. And so the wounds clinic just had a number of people coming through each day, and it might sound like a nice place, but don't envision any clinic here. Envision more an open-air garbage dump, and people would gather at one spot where in the midst of the sewage and things, you would try to clean their bandages so that they could heal. Often, they weren't really able to heal, and you were just kind of cleaning the bandages, knowing there really wasn't a lot of hope. And in that moment, for me, was one of the hardest moments. The first time I was there, and there was this man who had a leg that was wrapped up from the knee down, and he needed that bandage removed and the wound cleaned. And I'm not a doctor. I didn't really know exactly how to do it, but there was really no one else to help him. I'm not going to describe the wound, but imagine the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And multiply that by three or four. So as I started that, I was sort of beginning to do something I really didn't want to do. And then as I was in the middle of that process, it took me probably 15 minutes or so, I remembered something that I had been preaching about before, which was Jesus said, "What you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me." And what I find so amazing about that line is Jesus did not say, "What you do to the least of my brothers, you can pretend like you're doing it to me." He said, "You do it truly to me." And in that moment, I was kind of losing sense of time, you could say. I was having this experience where I realized I was touching Christ. And what had begun as the worst thing in my life ended up being the most beautiful thing I've ever done. I looked up to the man at the end who had been quiet the whole time, but very calm. And that's when I saw the eyes of Christ looking at me. That moment was a change in my life. I met Christ. I was already a priest, had studied about Christ, had read about Christ, had preached about Christ, but that was when I could say, I know I've met him and he's real. Well, since then, that experience is, you know, as a Christian, you're sort of hoping to repeat that, right? And you can't really control God. He just sort of comes when he wishes and wills. Perhaps it's on us to be always open and looking for that moment. Now, this painting from Eugene Bernand, he didn't really paint religious art until the end of his life. He had done landscapes. He's a bit of an impressionist, and unfortunately, he didn't paint many because he didn't live for very long after he started doing portraits. But this is a painting of Peter and John. It's the greatest Easter painting, I think, in which you don't see Jesus. Mary Magdalene has just told Peter and John, Jesus is alive. And Peter, the last time he had seen Jesus, he had denied Jesus publicly three times. And John, we know with his heart, was so in love with our Lord that the two of these men had spent 3 days feeling they had lost Christ. That their experience of being with Jesus for 3 years had come to nothing. It was over. And if you look at this painting, what's beautiful about it isn't so much the colors and how Bernand presented this, but it's he captured the face of Peter and John in such a powerful way. If you look at Peter's face for a moment, he's almost in disbelief that the Christ he had known and lost, he now realizes he might find him again. He might be able to see Jesus once again, and that's the only thing he wants to do. And if you look at John is on the verge of tears. He's literally about to cry tears of joy, but also disbelief that he might see Jesus again. You see, these two men, their lives have been changed because they met Christ in person. And they're now running along the way to the tomb. And our message this month, there is a better way. It's a way of life that has a relationship with Christ that's real. Now, I think it's very laudable and noble for any Christian who comes to church on Sunday and who tries to love their neighbor, but who has yet to maybe experience Christ in a real way. That's very noble and laudable, and it probably isn't always easy. But perhaps, maybe if in your own heart, those moments when you know that God has touched your soul, we can't forget those moments, those memories. That's what keep us alive. That's what help us to kind of get out of bed every morning, to know that there is a better way of life and there is a better tomorrow. Perhaps it's also up to us, like Peter, to say yes. I don't know. Perhaps if you're driving by the church someday during the week, to say yes to Christ would just be to come in for a moment when it's quiet and there's no one around and just sit with Jesus for 20 minutes and kind of open your heart in a way. Christ can touch your soul if he wishes in that moment, but you're giving him the opportunity. When Christians talk about fasting, when we try to maybe consume less social media or entertainment or food, we're making a space for Christ to touch our soul. That's what Christian fasting is for. So my invitation, whether it's going to the Alpha program, which is an experience of Christ, it's not a Bible study, perhaps that can be a way of saying yes to Jesus. But last week, we talked a little bit about the beauty of our Christian life in which our brother and sister to our left and to our right truly has Christ in their heart and soul by their baptism. Perhaps it's just in our domestic churches, our homes and families where we can meet Christ in a daily way. Well, I truly hope and pray that all of us will be able to say, I've met Christ in person and he's real. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.